You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris and John Budden here looking ahead to the action on Tuesday. We'll also be going through the questions posed by the Racing Post in the Monday Jury on this edition of the podcast. Make sure you join us on Racing Radio on Tuesday afternoon for all of the day's action. But first things first, it's a very warm welcome to John Budden. How are you, John?
Thank you, Sam. I'm very well, really. And one or two naps going in. And yes, Chipper.
Good stuff. Looking forward to the weekend at York and, of course, Newbury at the weekend.
Very much so. Wonderful racing at York. The May meeting, I always look forward to that. And the ground should be absolutely excellent. And a really good lock-in at the end of the week at Newbury.
Yeah, definitely so. Let's dive into the Monday Jury then to kickstart the podcast. And we'll start at the top. Did we see the next Derby winner at either Chester or Lingfield? Don't know about you, John, but the Lingfield Derby trial didn't ignite my fire, if you like.
I quite agree with you, Sam. It hasn't lit my fire for
yes,
several years. In fact, more than that. I think although it is technically an excellent trial in that it's obviously run over the same distance as the Derby, and Lingfield's hill coming down has a bare resemblance, or more than a bare resemblance, to Tattenham Corner and the Epsom Hill, the results and the quality of the fields over the past decade have been pretty thin.
Mm.
A best solution won well. I see Pat Cosgrave getting a winner for Godolphin. But as far as Godolphin is concerned in the Derby, I'm sure Barney Roy is the major hope. And at Chester, well, you know, a reasonable winner, workmanlike performance. But the stable, I fancy, will have others more fancied for Epsom.
Yeah, it was, as you said there, John, it was a little bit workmanlike, wasn't it, from Clifton Moher? It wasn't a scintillating performance. He didn't knock spots off his rivals.
No, it wasn't, but he did do the job, and, you know, you can't carp too much.
The next question then, has the Oaks market overreacted to Enable's Chester victory? What do you make of the Oaks then, John?
Well, this comes to Rhododendron, who we've just sort of mentioned vaguely.
Yeah.
I thought Enable has improved quite significantly. Ran extremely decently at Newmarket earlier, and then at Chester was excellent. And I fancy Enable will improve. Whether quite good enough to win the Oaks is another matter. As I say, I'm a Rhododendron man as far as the Oaks is concerned, because I thought she was a little bit unlucky in the 1,000 guineas. I'm sure she will stay the longer trip well, and Enable will go well, but my idea of the Oaks winner is Rhododendron.
Rhododendron, the 7-4 favourite for the Oaks, then Enable is 4-1, Shutter Speed 6s with Winter at 9-1, 12s bar, and the Derby market as well, spinning through that, Churchill 4-1, Clifton Moher is 9-2, 6-1 for Cracksman, Eminent 10-1, 12-1, and bigger prices for the rest of them. Next question then, give us a future winner fresh in your notebook.
Ah, oh, well, of course, you see, I like to keep my horses in a fairly low category. The two or horses that I very much like over the past week I saw running at Ayr, David O'Meara's Dalton.
Yeah.
I thought ran with great promise at Ayr to win, striding away. And Danny Tuttope is not a jockey normally given to suggesting that a horse he has ridden is a really good animal. But he was really quite talkative after the race and talked up Dalton in a big way. So I think on the Northern Circuit, anyhow, Dalton will be worthwhile following. And the other thing about Ayr, just very quickly, Jim Goldie's team came back to form. Great to see Jovial Jim with winners. He saddled four winners at the Ayr two-day meeting earlier in the week. And Yukon Glen was a really good winner. And it wouldn't surprise me if that went on to win good races during the rest of the season.
Okay, Yukon Glen and Dalton then, a couple for John to take out of the racing recently and to keep on side going forward, that is for sure. The next question then, Epsom's new Poundland Hill, inspired or insulting? Two schools of thought here, I suppose, John. One, is it cheapening the brand? And the flip side is it good that racing has a recognisable high street sponsor?
Well, it's good that they've got a recognisable high street sponsor. I agree with that, Sam. But I'm a traditionalist, as yes. you know, and it is, to me, a shameful thing that lots of, and it's not just Epsom Derby, lots of races are losing their traditional titles in favour of what you might call the money market sponsor issue.
Yes.
One can see that sponsors need to be fostered as much as possible. But I do actually feel there are other ways of doing it than renaming really, you know, old, long-term, knowledged expressions. And I'm not insulted because it's the sort of thing which is happening and one has to accept it. I'm not mystified either because obviously you need to, as I say, foster sponsorship. But as a racing buff, I'm not that keen on the change.
Okay, fair enough. Looking ahead to York this week then, are Cracksman and Shutterspeed shoo-ins at the York this week? Plenty of people hoping for an explosive performance from Cracksman in the Dante, which has so often been a really, really good derby trial, John. And of course, Shutterspeed holds a big chance in the Musidora.
Yes, and I think Cracksman is what interests me most of all. This is KP's Derby Hope. At least it certainly was until he ran at Epsom in the Derby trial. I think it still is. I've never heard KP, Ken Peterson, be as sort of interested and almost inspired about the possibility of a Derby winner. But he's been following this horse and he reckons that it's got a really good chance. I was interested that the Connections decided to run Cracksman in the Derby trial at Epsom. He didn't win that with great scintillating speed or, for that matter, class, but he did win. And, of course, it's given him experience of running over the Derby course. I would expect Cracksman to show a really decent performance in the Dante, win it, and go on to become a strongly fancied horse for the Derby. For Shutterspeed, very impressive. Enable behind, of course, Shutterspeed at Newmarket. Lives up to her name, Shutterspeed. A question about really staying the trip on a galloping course is now going to be answered at York. I hope that Shutterspeed will put in an equally impressive performance as she did at Newmarket up the long straight at York. If she does, she's got to have a big chance against Rhododendron in the Oaks, provided she goes there.
Okay, Cracksman the 2-1 favourite for the Dante. Crystal Ocean is 3-1. Rekindling 5s. Ben Battle 13-2. Exemplar 8-1. Double figure prices for the rest of them. And the Musidora Shutterspeed, the 2-5 market leader now with Vociferous Marina at 5-1. 12-1 for Serenada. Vintage Folly 12-1. And Miss Infinity 14-1. Shutterspeed rather scaring off the opposition, it would seem, in the Musidora. And the final question then on the jury this week looks ahead to Saturday's big race, and that's the Lockinge at Newbury. Who wins the Lockinge is the question. Show of betting for the Lockinge then. Galileo Gold and Ribchester, the 3-1 joint favourites. Minding 4-1. 6s for Alice Springs. 7-1 Lightning Spear. 8-1 Somehow. 14s and Bigger the Rest. And just those three at the top of the betting, John. Three horses who all enjoyed really good three-year-old campaigns.
Yeah, if they are really fit and ready to go, this is going to be a fascinating yes. race. I mean, so there's some tremendous races at York during the 3 days, but this Lockinge is, to me, a vintage occasion. I mean, if Galileo Gold runs as well as he did early in last season on Saturday, going to be hard to beat. Ribchester is a horse that I've been longing to win a really big race in this country.
Yes.
Connections suggest that he is stronger and more impressive, really, than he was last year, and that he's learnt to settle. I thought Ribchester would be my choice here. Having said that, of course, Aidan O'Brien's got a fleet of really top-class animals entered for this race, and whatever he runs is going to be, you know, very, very hard to beat in addition to Galileo Gold. But I do think Ribchester will run well. Outsider, I'm, as you know, biased slightly in favour of Martin Mead's horses. And Acclaim is in this contest. Now, Acclaim, originally thought to be just a sprinter, showed much better form when raised in trip for the last outing. And Acclaim has won on the first time out, I think, on the last two occasions. And at whatever price it is, 14-1, I think, Acclaim, something like that?
Yes, 14-1. Yeah,
14-1 looks value for me. So Ribchester is my choice, but it would not surprise me at all to see Acclaim run a really big race.
Excellent stuff. Acclaim then. John's fancying the Lockinge, available at 14-1. Cracking race coming up at Newbury at the weekend. We'll turn our attention then to matters closer at hand now and go on to look at some of Tuesday's racing. We've got four races picked out on Tuesday, and we start at Beverley with their 3 o'clock, which is a 5 furlong handicap class 5 event, but we've got 14 runners lining up for it. What did you make of these sprinters, John?
Well, I've narrowed it down to three. Beverly, of course, the draw bias is still there, and therefore, you know, on the whole, you want to have low numbers now. And from the inside, you start. Henley is the first one I'd like to mention. Is still a maiden. Well, not quite. Has won one race out of 20, I think, or so. Henley represents Tracy Waggett with Ben Curtis in the saddle. But despite the very poor strike rate, actually has run well on the last two occasions. Runner up at Southall, and more importantly, runner up at Pontefract. And Watson beaten all that far. So Henley's, you know, likely to go pretty well. I emphasise Ponty in this contest, Sam, because the horse I like is Jack Louis. Now, I've been following Jack Louis for a while, drawn 7 here at Beverley tomorrow, which is not bad. Paul Hannigan in the saddle, as was the case at Ponty. Now, Jack Louis ran in the same race as Henley, and Jack Louis and Henley were, in fact, separated by a head. And Jack Louis tried to make all the running at Ponty and was just, you know, caught for toe in the final furlong and a half, but ran very much better than previously. I think will be suited by Beverley. Sharp track. I can see Jack Louis getting out of the stalls really quickly and leading throughout. I think Jack Louis will reverse that very narrow margin of defeat with Henley. Must mention one at the bottom, which is called Socialites Red, Scott Dixon's runner in this contest, won quite tidily at Nottingham very recently. Biggish field, but that race was over 6 furlongs. Also got a £6 penalty, comes back to 5 here. So I'm going to go for Jack Louis.
Okay, Jack Louis, the choice for John then in that 3 o'clock race at Beverley, but Henley and Socialites Red could be the main dangers to the selection. We stay at Beverley then for the 4 o'clock. Next race on the podcast is a handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's Division 1 of this mile and a quarter handicap at 4 o'clock. A field of 10 lining up for the first division. Talk us through this one, John.
Yes, well, this is full of nearly horses and those who have either not yet won or have won very infrequently. Again, I've reduced it to 3. I thought Tim Easterby's horse has got a chance. That's near the bottom. He's a toff. Ran in the same race as one or two others in this contest, won by Attic, who won very comfortably indeed. a Richard Fahey horse at Beverley last time out. And he's a toff, finished third in that contest, running on quite well at the end, and I think must go pretty well. Richard Fahey's got a runner in the race, Starline Sienna, but this is one of those horses who's been not just a nearly horse, has actually taken a lot of time to come to winning form. Is, I think, running for in a handicap for the second time, but has got to make up quite a bit of ground on the attic form shown earlier in the season. I'm going to go a little bit on a limb here. I'm going for Miss Bates. Miss Bates is Anne Duffield and wears a tongue tie for the first time. Graham Lee's in the saddle and I thought ran pretty well at Pontefract. Finished fourth. Never actually looked like getting into the contest, but was running on quite strongly behind a horse of Mick Easterby's, who was in decent form at the time, called Miss Sheridan. And in what is a pretty thin contest as far as quality, I thought that Miss Bates might come out on top here.
Miss Bates then the choice for John in that 4 o'clock race at Beverley, with Graham Lee doing the steering for Anne Duffield. We taking a bit of jumps action now from Suddle for the 8 o'clock. 2.5 furlongs they go here for a novices limited handicap. Novices limited handicap chase as well, this 6 o'clock. Just a field of six taking their chance in this one. What are we going to go for here, John?
Yeah, this is wide open, only six runners, but my goodness me, it's a pretty good minefield and it's a very interesting race. I like Minella Arts, really because Tom George's horses have started the current jump season in very good nick indeed, as of course as Adrian Heskin. Cost an awful lot of money, this horse, to be running in a fairly modest contest at Southall. 200,000, not that long ago, but hasn't lived up to that sort of quality of money in the races that it has run recently. Wasn't too bad last time out, and needs to improve a bit, but the stable are in pretty good shape, and I think Manila Arts will go very close here. Then we've got Royal Plaza, who comes, well, a little bit into the same category. Alan King. Actually, Alan King's got rather a good record at Southwell, particularly over hurdles. Mm. And Royal Plaza's making, I think, chasing debut here. Fell over hurdles last time when running in third place. Has got form over the smaller obstacles. If that little spill has caused Royal Plaza to pick up his feet, then he could go well. I do like Breath of Blighty in this contest. Paul Webber trains, not one of the trainers that I get many winners from.
Right.
But Breath of Blighty won well at Kempton last time out, and I think if producing the same sort of form will go close, as will Such a Legend in form, Kim Bailey. His horse is running really well. Such a Legend, a winner, I think, at Chepstow last time out. And right at the bottom there, you've got Washed Ashore, who's also, I think, a chase debutant here for the informed John Joe. So you see, it's a race with a small number of runners, but they've all got chances. I couldn't make up my mind for a while as to whether it would be Breath of Blighty or Such a Legend, and I'm going for Breath of Blighty.
Breath of Blighty gets the vote then in that 6 o'clock race at Suddle, just ahead of Such a Legend. The final race on today's podcast then comes from Chepstow with the 7.10, which is a handicap over 6 furlongs. Got a field of 13 going to post here at time of recording. And your thoughts here, John?
Interesting again. King of Swing, I think, is a horse at the top who hasn't done very much recently, but could spring up and run a very much better race for Richard Hughes. Joe Hughes, no relation, of course, has probably the form horse in Wink Oliver, but much of that form has been on the all weather. And since wearing a hood, has improved to win at Wolverhampton and Lingfield. Was beaten at Brighton last time out, but didn't run too badly, so Wink Oliver's got a bit of form. We have two horses who won this race already running tomorrow. The first of these is Fantasy Justifier, who actually won it last year. And then we've got Bonjour Steve, who won this race back in 2015. Now, Bonjour Steve is a little bit of a Chepstow, not specialist, but it runs fairly well here. Hasn't run since January, though, when was a winner. The recent form has been shown by Indian Affair in this contest. I like Indian Affair. Milton Bradley trains Robert Winston in the saddle, and I thought ran a very decent second on the old weather at Wolverhampton last time out. Well weighted, and in what is a tricky race, I thought Indian Affair could go well.
Indian Affair then for John in that contest at Chepstow. Thank you very much for your selections, John. Just give us a quick recap, if you wouldn't mind, the four horses that we've looked at on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, the first one's the 3 o'clock at Beverley, Sam, and I do think Jack Louis has got a big chance, and if I was napping something of the four, it would definitely be Jack Louis. In the 4 o'clock, on a limb, outside or a bit, Miss Bates for Graham Lee. Then over the jumps of Sutherland, the 6:10, I go for Breath of Blighty. And finally, in the 7:10 at Chepstow, the choice is Indian Affair.
Good stuff. Thank you, as always, John. And do remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio on Tuesday afternoon, where we've got all of the racing well and truly covered for you. Thanks for that, John. Best of luck and enjoy the racing this week.
Thank you very much, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.